Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, thanks so much for being with us. This might be the time of year that you kind of find yourself back in church. The Christmas season is a real common time where we end up coming together and looking for those places inside of us at this time of year for the themes of this time of year. And today we're starting a new series of messages called Christmas in Us. We're a multi-campus church, which means right now we're connected with our Torrance campus. So hi to everybody there at our Torrance campus on Lomita Boulevard. It was right across the street there. It was running the turkey trot in Torrance. And so it's right next to the church. So great that we can be together this way. For the next 4 weeks, we're doing a series about how Christmas isn't just on the outside. A lot of times we have like, we'll put up the tree, we'll do the lights, we'll have the presents, we'll sing the songs. So a lot of Christmas in many ways is external. In this series over the next 4 weeks, we're gonna talk about what it's like to experience Christmas in us. Or as somebody said, you should just call the Christmas series Christmas, you know, like in us. I was like, that has a funny ring to it. But what we're gonna do is over the next 4 weeks, we're gonna cover four very traditional themes of Christmas. And these are the four themes that kind of come up in traditional Christmas celebrations. This week, we're gonna start with this first one, the message of hope. And what does it mean to have hope, especially at this time of year? Because a lot of us want hope, but sometimes it's hard to find. I was thinking about that and remembering a time last year when I was going out shopping and I was trying to find a new pair of pants. And I'm kind of a pretty easygoing guy when it comes to finding clothes. I'll just, oh, this is what I need. This is the size, I'm fine. And for some reason, I found myself in a thrift shop looking for a pair of pants. And I found a pair of pants. I was like, okay, this looks good. This seems normal. Like, I'm good with it. So I leave, and a little while later, I'm wearing them for the first time. I'm in a grocery store. I put my keys in my pocket. I go in the grocery store, buy all this stuff. I've got two bags of groceries. I'm going out to my car. I set the groceries down, and I can't find my keys. And I'm like, feeling like, where am I? I thought I put them in my, you know what? Maybe they're on the ground. Maybe they're in the bag. Maybe I put them in the bag. I am notorious for losing my keys. Where are they? I go back into the store. I'm asking around, where are my keys? I finally walk back and I have no idea. My ice cream is melting. I'm going, what is going on? And I reach into my pocket and I'm like, oh, there they are. They were in a little secret pocket. But not the little change pocket, not this one. It was like down here. It was like a pocket inside the pocket in like some secret woven space. And I was like, what? I didn't even know that was there until my keys dropped down into it. And I was like, I spent all this time looking for my keys in the places I expected to find them, when in fact, my keys were deeper down in a place I didn't expect. I think that's a picture of hope. I think a lot of times we look for hope in expected places. We're like, I hope I get that promotion. I hope this relationship works out. I hope that diagnosis doesn't come through, or it does come through in this way. I hope I'm going to have the good feelings that I want to have during this season. And so we look for hope in those pockets, but it's not uncommon that those pockets are actually empty. And maybe there's a secret pocket, a deeper pocket, where we are more likely to find the hope that we need. And maybe you're in one of those seasons right now where you're looking for hope. And I wanna encourage you that the Christmas season can offer it maybe in an unexpected way. Here's the main idea of what I wanna share with you today. We can be people of hope because of Jesus's arrival. Jesus's arrival celebrated at Christmas, And Christmas provides us the opportunity to be people that are defined by hope. And so let's look at a Christmas story that can kind of give us some insight into this. Here's the story we're going to look at. It's the angel's promise to Mary, and here's where we can find it in the New Testament. Each week we're going to look at a story related to the Christmas narrative in the New Testament, the arrival of Jesus. And this story takes place, it's in the first century. Mary is this young Jewish woman living in Israel, and she suddenly has an experience with a supernatural being, an angel. Her Jewish faith, she had learned growing up that experiences with angels were part of the spiritual world. It was part of what it meant to have a relationship with God. And she has this profound angelic experience. Here's what the text tells us. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now that last line, "the Lord is with you," it's not like, "hey, the Lord's with you." It's not like that. It was like, "the Lord is with you in this moment." It goes on to say, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Another reassurance and a reminder, don't be afraid, because when you read through some of the older stories in the Bible, it is very common for angels to show up when something bad was about to happen. So you can imagine this angel showing up, Mary's going, "Oh no, what's gonna happen? Are you destroying the city? Is something terrible gonna happen?" Don't be afraid. God is with you. And then the angel reveals to Mary why he showed up. It says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, one of Israel's great kings, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." What an amazing, amazing announcement. But Mary is still confused about this message. Here's what she says. She asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." Here's something really powerful. She knew the what, but she didn't know the how. That's a picture of hope. Hope is that assurance and confidence that God is going to come through. Hope is that confidence you have that things are going to get better. And we can have the what, the belief things will get better, without the how. Remember that. Hope is about the belief. It's not about the certainty of how it's going to play out. Now, she's like, "How is this going to happen?" Now, the angel is probably thinking, "How do I explain this to a human being? Like, how can I articulate?" And the angel says this: "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Okay, that's clear, right? You didn't explain it. The angel's probably like, "Look, it's gonna be a miracle. I can't give you the science of it. But God's going to come through in this amazing way." And Mary, to her credit, as a woman of hope and a woman of faith, look how she responds. "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. I love this sentence. "May everything you have said about me come true." That's hope. When you say, God, what are you saying about me? And notice it's future oriented. What God is saying about you, may it come true. What a beautiful statement of hope. This is an amazing story. Here's a couple of things that I think we can get from it. One, I think that Mary, as a devout Jewish woman, remembered that there was an ancient prophecy from a Hebrew prophet by the name of Isaiah that the angel is referring to. Here's what that ancient prophecy said. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Here's one of the reasons that we can be people of hope at this time of year. The first one, we can believe Jesus is with us. Mary believed Jesus was with her. Mary believed Jesus was in her. I mean, God was with her in the most intimate and powerful and spiritually significant way. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus is born, he grows up, he spends 3 years teaching and doing miracles, he dies for the sins of the world, rises again, and as he's getting ready to leave the world, he tells his followers this. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then look what he says. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's like, I am with you. Because you can imagine, they're kind of like, Jesus, we've spent 3 years with you. Now you're going to kind of disappear. He's like, no. I'm with you, and I'm going to be with you in a way I wasn't with you physically. Jesus makes this promise to his followers, and then within the first 30 to 60 years of early Christianity, this idea of Jesus being with us and in us in a very deep and personal way completely captivated the first Christians. In fact, the first Christians were able to endure persecution, starvation, struggle, sickness, oppression, not because they had all the skills and resources and confidence, but because they had a profound belief that Jesus was actually living inside them. And as the followers of Jesus began looking through the pages of the Old Testament, they realized, oh wait, this idea has kind of been happening for a long time. This idea has been floated throughout the centuries, but we just didn't know it. In fact, we have a new letter in the New Testament that tells us this. Look at this. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it's been revealed to God's people, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. That's the Christmas secret. And that's the core of where our hope can come from. So here's an action step for us. This Christmas season, reflect on the truth that Jesus lives in you. Are you in one of these spots right now in your life where you're like, I'm just looking for hope. I just want a different politician. I want a different decision in my family. I want a different diagnosis. I want more money coming in. And we're looking for that hope. I think the core of our hope is that in Jesus lives in us. That if we're looking for real transformation in our lives and a sense of confidence that things will get better, that sense of confidence comes from the fact that God is living in us. Now you might say, that sounds kind of weird. Some of you might be like, the idea of Jesus living inside of me, because I'm not talking about like a force or energy force or something like, sometimes they're like, God lives in me and it's this energy. And it's like, no, I'm talking about an actual person residing inside your soul or connected with your soul in a specific way. When I first was looking into faith, I was about 18 years old, and I remember I was going to this church, and I was asking him about this idea, because the pastor had been teaching about how when you say yes to Jesus, there's a sense in which Jesus comes to live in you. And I was like, you mean like being possessed? Because I was like really into horror movies and stuff like that. I was like, am I going to be possessed by a Jesus? You know? And he said, well, if you're saying you're inviting the benevolent God of the universe to influence and shape and guide your thoughts and your emotions and your actions, then yeah, I guess it's like a possession. He said, just don't invite any other spiritual being in there to do that. And I was like, okay, I got it, you know. But maybe this Christmas, maybe you're of the experience in your life that you've probably, some of you have never actually said, Jesus, I invite you into my being. I invite you to live in me in the most intimate way. And if that's you, then maybe this Christmas season would be the time to do that. A brand new spiritual life. Jesus talks about it being a spiritual birth. We're all born physically, but have you been born spiritually? Has God awakened your soul so that you can interact with the God of the universe? And one of those ways that I did that, that you could do that too, is by simply talking to God about, saying, God, come into my life. Forgive my sins. Awaken my spirit. Live inside of me. I want to give leadership of my life over to you. And that's what the scriptures, that's what Jesus talked about, and that's what the first Christians talked about, this idea of welcoming Jesus in and allowing the life and the hope of Christmas to come from inside of you, not from the situations around you. And that's one other reason why we can be people of hope. It's not just knowing that Jesus lives in us, but it's also this, that we can place our ultimate hope in Jesus. In the first century, Mary was living in a place in the world that had an occupying power. The Roman government was the occupying power over Judea. And the Roman government was incredibly oppressive. And the Jewish people were living at a time where they were wanting religious freedom, and they wanted freedom over their country, and they wanted the ability to live in peace. And so there was a lot of political pressure and a lot of political tension happening at the time that Mary is experiencing this. Going along with that, the Jewish people of the day, when they read about prophecies in their scriptures about a coming Messiah, they believed it would be a political Messiah. And so a lot of the thinking of the day was, God, rescue us by giving us a political leader who will back our beliefs and our views. That was the expectation. But Mary was on the other side of it. Mary wasn't looking for a political Messiah. Mary was looking for God to change lives and transform the world. And I think that's a really good, important lesson for us. In fact, after Mary gets this visit from the angel Gabriel, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. We'll find out later that her cousin was pregnant with John the Baptist, who would be kind of the intro guy, the setup act for Jesus. And while she's with her cousin Elizabeth, She has this Spirit-filled moment of prayer and thanksgiving, and we have it recorded in the New Testament for us. Look what Mary says. She says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of this lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed." And then she goes into kind of a list. She says, "He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him." And she says, "His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away with empty hands." She's saying, all the things that I want to see in the world are ultimately coming from God. And I think what Mary is doing here is what we can be invited to do this Christmas. And that is, sometimes we're placing our hope in physical things. We're placing our hope in things outside of us. And wouldn't it be more powerful this Christmas if we say, I'm gonna find my hope in God, who actually has strange and unusual ways of working out good in the world. I want things to get better. And sometimes I might even suggest to God how he could do it. God, if you would just bring us this, if you would do this, if you would just give me this diagnosis, if you give me this job, if you get this relative out of my life. You know, we have all these suggestions, but we can have the what without knowing the how, as long as we're kind of open to God doing it. And that also means when we place our hope on specific things, that might be misplaced hope. So this Christmas, let's be careful of that. In fact, I got one more action step for you here. Offer to Jesus one area of misplaced hope in your life. What might that be? Where you're like, well, I'm gonna feel a lot better if this comes through. I'm gonna have so much more hope if this thing changes. It's gonna be a great Christmas if this happens. And then we put our hope in those things. And then what happens when those are empty pockets? Then we lose hope. But what if our hope was in God? What if we put our hope in God and then leave the how to him? Those of you that know me, this is a change I've gone through over the last, I've been going through it for, I think, my whole life, but definitely for the last several years, is I put my hope in what people think of me. And boy, that's misplaced. I mean, I appreciate all of you who are real encouragers and stuff like that, but there is not enough human beings alive to help me with the hope. Like, I can get 100 people saying, man, you're doing a great job. And one person says, I disagree. And I'm like, see, I've got no hope anymore. And some of you are like that. Some of you are like, I don't care what people think at all. Maybe you should a little bit. But I mean, I depend way too much on that. And I won't share it with you, but I was having a problem. I didn't plan to say this, but I was in a problem opening up one of my files the other day. And I opened up, I finally got this file open and it popped up, and it was the top 5 worst things said to me in 2020 as a Christian leader. And I looked at it, and thank God, I'm in a new place, because I looked at it, I was like, these are horrible, horrible things that were said to me. I mean, people said the worst things to me in 2020. And I looked at them, and in 2020, those things wrecked me. But I made it a point to actually write them down, because I thought at some point in the future, I'm gonna be like, these people are insane. And I opened it up, and I was like, you know what? It didn't hit me like it did before. I felt okay. I have often placed my hope in people's affirming comments about me. And then the pockets are empty. Where in your life have you placed hope in a person, in a thing, in a job title, in a bank account, in a marital status, in how many likes you get on social media? Where have you placed your hope outside of you? And what would it be like to say, God, I've placed my hope there. I'm going to place my hope in what you're doing in my life. And I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that I can have hope. That's the Christmas secret. I'll show it to you again. Again, the early Christians believe this. This is the secret. Christ lives in you. Are you in one of those spots where you need a breakthrough in your life? Are you in one of those spots where Christmas, and for some of us, Christmas is a very sad time of year, brings up a lot of memories, there's hurts, there's loneliness. You know, the Christmas songs are beautiful, but half of them are just melancholy, and you're kind of like, oh, kind of brings me down. What would it look like to have this Christmas season be much more about God living in you? And how could that give you the confidence that things are going to get better? And you don't know how, but they will. Here's what we talked about today. We can be people of hope because of Jesus's arrival. Christmas tells us we can be people of hope. Why? Because we can believe that Jesus is with us. It's not Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and then went away and he's hiding behind some cloud somewhere and he's like, here's the Bible, figure it out. You guys get together, sort it out. It's like, no, Jesus is living in you, and if he isn't, invite him in. And we can place our ultimate hope in Jesus. Recognize those areas. Man, I'm putting my hope in this and this and these people, and if these people would change, I'd be doing a lot better. You know, we put our hope in all these external things. Put your ultimate hope in Jesus, because Jesus is making things better. We're going to close our services now with a song. Over at Torrance and here at Manhattan Beach, our bands are going to be coming out. We're going to close with a Christmas song. And this Christmas song is about that invitation. Jesus, come, live in us, change us, make us people of hope. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing this song to close our service together. Gracious God, thank you so much. Thank you that you're not a God that exists so far away, but you created the universe, then you entered the universe. And now you've entered us. God, do an amazing, powerful, and mysterious work, not just in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. Where people are around us, they see us as people of hope, and they say, where is that hope coming from? And we can say, God, let me tell you, because it's a secret. And let me get you into this secret. God, thank you for living in us. In Jesus' name, amen.